as we look at God's word as found in the gospel according to Mark chapter 16, verses 12 through verse number 13, recognizing God. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported it to others, but they did not believe them either. Recognizing God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this holy assembly of your people, that, Father, we have gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And, Father, during these very difficult days, we need you, God. God, we desire to recognize you. Now, Father, help us to recognize you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The world of artificial intelligence continues to grow exponentially, and with every passing day, increasingly in every facet of our lives, there is the integration of artificial intelligence. Facial, voice, eye, fingerprints, and on and on. And the integration of AI in our household appliances, electronics, personal and mass transportation, mobile devices. Just think, nearly every man in America has a woman living in his home named Alexa. She can perform dozens, if not hundreds, of tasks. We all know that in cyberspace there is data collecting. Your personal identity and privacy rights are constantly under attack. Data can be bought, sold, stolen, marketed, exploited, manipulated, preserved, and falsified. You see, knowledge is power. Knowledge is powerful. However, knowledge can be perverted and corrupting. Remember, our parents partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil under the guise that thou shalt be as gods, knowing good from evil. And our knowledge of things have increased a hundredfold. However, our knowledge of God is considered non-relevant, unsubstantiated, unverifiable, unproven, and even unnecessary. Thus, whether you know it or not, we have entered the dark age of scientism. Not science, but scientism. Scientism is the answer to all of the world's problems. It's the only way to substantiate and verify truth. So they say. Scientism, there are no transcendentals, the good, the true, and the beautiful. There is no transcendent God, and there are no transcendent realities. To many, God was simply a myth. The myth of God is now dead. Thus, God is dead. Scientism has become the measure and the center of all things. Absolutely no recognition of God. However, in our text here in Mark chapter 16, we learn that Jesus was raised from the dead as it was dawning towards the first day of the week. But there's a problem that's repeated over and over again. On various occasions, when a disciple, a follower of Jesus, saw the risen Christ, they didn't recognize him. They either didn't recognize him or they did not know what to make of him. On Resurrection Sunday, there was a recognition problem. Today, Sunday, July the 12th, 2020, there is a serious problem, a recognition problem in our churches pertaining to Jesus. And a starting point is to improve our recognition of God, we must begin with the immutability of God. In other words, God cannot change. Let the church say amen. The nature of God, the attributes of God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, the character of God, God is holy, God is other, there is none other, those things do not change. However, the appearances of God can change and does change throughout the scriptures. Let me say it again. the appearances of God change and does change throughout the scriptures. When God changes his appearance, there is the possibility he will go unrecognized by his nearest and dearest followers. Let's look at our text here, Mark chapter 16, and let's begin at verse number 9. Listen to the text. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe. After that, he appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking along on the way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe either. So let me refresh your memory. When Mary Magdalene went to the tomb on Resurrection Sunday, she went into the sepulcher, but the body of Jesus was not there. When she left the sepulcher, she saw a man that she supposed was the gardener, and she asked him, "Do you know where they have taken the body of my Lord?" And he answered, "Mary." And she said, "Rabboni." She had no clue it was Jesus. She thought via his appearance, he was the gardener. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? That Peter, James, and John went up the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus' appearance was shockingly and suddenly changed before their very eyes. So here in verse number 12 of our text in Mark chapter 16, it is referencing a second appearance of Jesus on Resurrection Sunday to 2 of his disciples on the Emmaus Road. They converse with him for hours, and they don't recognize him for hours. Finally, they arrive at their destination. They invite him into the home. And while in the home, they sat down. Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to them. At that very moment, in the breaking of bread, they recognized that it was Jesus. But as soon as they recognized him, he vanished, disappeared right out of their very sight. You say, well, what is the point? You can come to church every Sunday and not recognize that the Lord is present in an unrecognizable way. Let the church say amen. So the first point I want you to jot down is point number 1 is the following. The Lord can shroud or veil his appearance. Now follow me. The Lord shrouded himself in the wilderness in the Old Testament by leading Israel. He veiled himself. He shrouded himself in a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of a fire by night. In other words, in that pillar of a cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night, the Lord was in the cloud, but he veiled himself in the cloud. You see, God was truly, substantially present in the cloud. And so it is. The Lord would veil himself in the Shekinah glory cloud that would descend upon the tabernacle. And as the cloud descended upon the tabernacle, the Lord entered the tabernacle. He appeared in a cloud. We all know that the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush in the wilderness. Our Lord was shrouded, veiled in the womb of Mary. So now follow me in regards to the church. The Lord is present in his church via the breaking of bread. You say, well, why do you say that? You see, when you entered the church today, you should have received a communion kit, a sealed communion kit, because later we're going to, quote, partake of the communion. You see, the Lord does certain things. The cloud was real. The burning bush was real. The bread is real. You see, God appears in different forms. Have you not read that when Jesus was baptized, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove? In Mark chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus appeared in a different form from the morning encounter with Mary Magdalene as a gardener. He appears in a different form that evening with the men on the road of Emmaus. Now listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Listen to God's word. Who being in the form of God, took upon him the form of a servant. Who being in the form of God, took upon him the form of a servant. The Lord can shroud and veil his appearance. Let the church say amen. But secondly, God must open your eyes to see him present. God must open your eyes to see him present. The Bible tells us regarding to the road of Emmaus that their eyes were prohibited or prevented from seeing him. They could not see him. They could not recognize him because they were prevented from doing so. How many of you believe God has to open your eyes? God must open your eyes for you to recognize him. So the truth of the matter is, God goes unrecognized by most people in the world and in the church. God must open the eyes, listen, of your heart. The eyes of your heart. He must open your eyes to his consecration. You say, okay, what is that? You say you have bread and you have drink. And that's exactly what it is, bread and drink. It is common every day, wafer, bread, and drink. But Jesus does what is called the consecration. He takes that which is common and he consecrates it and makes it holy. Let the church say amen. In other words, what you have right now is common. But when Minister Don comes up here later on and he's going to read from 1 Corinthians, he's going to read the very word of God. And the very word of God are the words of consecration that's going to consecrate what is common in your hands right now. But after he reads it, it shall be made holy. Your common bread is going to become consecrated bread. You see, in other words, to know that he's present, you must understand the consecration. But secondly, jot this down, you must understand the declaration. Well, what is the declaration? This is my body. This is my blood. Now, how many of you believe God said what he meant and meant what he said? Just say amen. He didn't say, this is like my body. This is like my blood. He said, this is. And there's something you need to understand when God speaks. When God speaks, it happens. The church say amen. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let the church say amen. So let me share just a few things in your hearing so you understand what we're talking about. So you listen good and you can jot down as you write fast. Let the church say amen. Listen to me. I'm going to talk slow so you can write fast. All right. I don't see no pens up, but anyway. God is being. He is an eternal being. He is an uncreated being. God is being itself. Nothing can be apart from God. God spoke, let there be, and it was. God is being, and yet he can create being. He can transform and change being. Let the church say amen. My relates to me, myself. He took bread, which is being. Anything that exists is being. He took bread. He said, "This is my body being bread, be me." Substance is anything that exists. Substance is being. The substance of the bread becomes his being. This be me. That is his real presence. When he broke bread, when the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, when they reached the house, when he broke bread, gave thanks, and gave it to them, they recognized him in the breaking of the bread, and he vanished out of their sight. You see, it was no longer necessary for them to see him because he was now present in the breaking of the bread. You say, what do you mean? God can create being, let the church say amen, and God can transform and change being. You see, this is what God did. The invisible God changed his appearance and became visible in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was visible in the very room at the same table with these men, the visible became invisible, and he vanished out of their sight. Okay, what does that all have to do with us today? You see, during this pandemic, every Sunday at 8 o'clock service, we are partaking of the Lord's Supper. You say, now, why are we doing this? Listen, because listen to me, maybe last time, I don't know. That's what the old times used to say, let the church say amen. Maybe the last time, I don't know. Now, it's certain things you can be certain of during this pandemic. This is what you can be certain of in the midst of this pandemic: nothing. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. See, we don't know whether we're going to be here next Sunday. It may be another 3 months before we're able to get back here again. But while we're here, we're going to enjoy and partake of the real presence of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, recognizing God. Thirdly, you must desire him to be filled by him. You see, there's the consecration, there's the declaration, and then there's the participation. In other words, he consecrates the bread. He makes the declaration what the bread is. This is my body. And then there's the participation. Now, communion means to participate, a sharing in, that now we can participate, we can share in his broken body and his shed blood. So the question is this, and this is a very, very important question. Listen to me. Do you have an appetite this morning? Do you have an appetite this morning? I hope you have, listen to me, I hope you have a spiritual appetite this morning. You say, why do you bring that up? You see, I've been pastoring for 37 years. God knows how many hospital visits I've made over those 37 years. And you know, one of the most important questions I ask when I go to the hospital, you know what I ask. How's your appetite? How's your appetite? When an infirm person doesn't have an appetite, that's not good. But when their appetite returns, typically they're getting better. Listen to me, beloved. We live in a sin-cursed world. Sin-cursed world. And I'm here to tell you, the ill effects of the world rub off on us. So in other words, in order for us to get better, we've got to have, listen to me, an appetite for God. Do you desire God this morning? Do you desire to commune with God, eat with God, drink with God? He's really substantially present this morning. The invisible becomes visible, and the visible becomes invisible. God can show up any old kind of way he wants to. You can't tell him how to come.
He comes the way he wants to come. Unfortunately, most of us don't recognize him when he does come. You've got to recognize God. The common becomes holy. Declaration of the word is. Declaration of being. This is my body. This is my blood. Via the words of consecration that causes us and gives us the privilege of participation. Let me close with this. You see, every Jew, there's something that's true of every Jew. Every Jew, the blood of Abraham is in their veins. The blood of Abraham is in their veins. They are the descendants of Abraham via the covenant that God made with Abraham, and God sacrificed an animal. The blood of Abraham is in the veins of his descendants, the Jews, to this very day. Listen to me. Life persists upon the earth because blood is on the earth. The life of the flesh is in the blood. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Now listen to me. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus, he establishes not the Abrahamic covenant, he establishes the new covenant of the New Testament. And if where there is a covenant, there has to be blood. And so Jesus, he is the slain Lamb of God who transforms the wine into his blood so that you can become a blood brother and sister of Jesus Christ. And thus he would say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And if you don't have his flesh, if you have no, you don't have his blood, you have no life in you. The life of the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb of God, he shed his blood. And whatever it is sacrificed, it must be eaten. You must eat the sacrifice, and with this blood covenant, you must drink to the covenant. Therefore, recognizing God in the consecration, recognizing God in the declaration, recognizing God in the participation, recognizing as we look at our world and scientism that is all pervasive, that does not recognize God, you know what has happened before our very eyes? A world that no longer recognizes God, listen to me, is the world we no longer recognize. This is not the world we were once born into, let the church say amen. But as the world has moved away from God, the world has become unrecognizable to us. But I thank God, I still recognize God. Though the world doesn't, I do. And I'm happy. I can still see God through the eyes of my heart. I see him. I experience him in a real, real way, recognizing God. Let's stand and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's all stand, shall we? Father, we thank you for this gathering and your people who have gathered in your name. And so, Father, we're truly satisfied. We're truly pleased with our Savior Jesus. And God, we're so thankful that we can partake of the blood and of the body of Christ. Now, Father, we pray for souls here today. Those who need to accept you as Lord and Savior, those that are in need of a church membership and fellowship, those that need to be baptized, those that need to rededicate their lives back to you. Father, have your way in our midst. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.